Can we just sample? First, let's say hello to Eric Zorn for just a second. Hey, Eric, how are you? You're on WGN.
I'm good, John. How are you doing?
Good. Eric's the publisher of a newsletter you can subscribe to for free or for a premium price called The Picayune Sentinel. He's a member of our Mincing Rascals podcast team, and he's actually quite the musician and enjoys music. We are asking people to tell us what are some of the memorable single live musical performances they remember seeing on TV. And Eric, I would suggest maybe Bette Midler saying "So Long" to Johnny Carson on his last show, or a couple of Bruno Mars performances, including his tribute at the VMAs to Amy Winehouse. You see what I'm doing here?
I see what he's doing, yeah. What about Tiny Tim singing "Tiptoe Through the Tulips" to Miss Vicky when they got married?
I remember that. That was on The Tonight Show also. And
it was.
I remember that, but that's not good. That was weird. And
yes, no.
Far be it for me to judge. That was memorable. But okay, Pete, what about JT singing "Suit and Tie" on SNL? The way they're flipping a tie around is really spectacular. We've also put that on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John there. JT singing "Suit and Tie" on SNL. See what I'm doing?
I do. Speaking of SNL, I remember it was a long time ago now, seeing Randy Travis on SNL. I think he was doing "Forever and Ever, Amen." And at the time, I've always been into old country music, like really old country music. But I had sort of eschewed modern country music. But hearing Randy Travis on SNL do that song, I went into a whole Randy Travis thing, which opened my eyes to what's going on in country music these days, which is really amazing. So that's really memorable. And the other one from SNL I remember, that's the only live music I see on TV really anymore, is SNL. And it was the Rolling Stones, and that had to be back in the 70s when they were on, and they did "Shattered," and it was just really cool. Those are the two that really stick out in my mind.
Hey, John, my favorite live musical performance is Neil Diamond and Barbra Streisand singing "You Don't Bring Me Flowers" on the Grammys. And I have watched that not that long ago. The audience cannot believe it. They go nuts. And it really is a powerful performance. I thoroughly second that emotion. But this is the one we're getting a lot of. Hart singing "Stairway to Heaven" at the Kennedy Center. I haven't found a real good version of that yet. But you get the idea.
What about Bradley Cooper and was it Lady Gaga singing "Shallow"? Was that on the Grammys?
Yeah.
Because the Grammy, I mean, even just this year, the Grammys had a couple of nice ones.
Was that the Oscars? Was it the Oscars?
It was probably the Oscars. Now that I think of it, but that was, I mean, that song is really, and the way they did it was amazing. Anyway,
just
great topic.
And then some of them are so iconic they almost defy the list. You know, Prince with his electric guitar at the Super Bowl, or Michael Jackson moonwalking on the Motown 25th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
I'm almost more interested in the discoveries, things that we haven't thought about for a long time. Any Super Bowl halftime or national anthem performance also almost transcends the list. I think Lady Gaga singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl was one of the most wonderful things I've ever seen. But that's beside the point now. All right, let's talk about some other things. Eric, you have a few things to say about Dexter Reed. I said you did a Zapruder-like analysis of the video, and I said you caught hell for it. But is that a fair headline for what we're going to talk about?
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, we're talking to Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. And we're talking not about music videos, although the hits just keep on coming here, Eric. But I noticed in the Chicago Tribune editorial that they are taking to task the COPPA head for what they say is doing a media barnstorming, which risks giving the public the impression that COPPA is leaning toward recommending discipline for some of the officers involved in the Dexter Reed shooting. They say that Kirsten, that's her last name, was discussing the videos and what her agency was probing on Channel 2 and then on WGN Radio, among other places. You looked at that video. What do you want to say about it, Eric?
Well, first of all, I disagree strongly with that Tribune editorial that they think that the head of the COPPA shouldn't be out there talking about this. That one of the problems we had with the Laquan McDonald shooting was that everybody went into their silos and didn't say anything, and it looked like a cover-up. And what she's been saying, what Andre Kirsten's been saying, is that first of all, Dexter Reed, who was shot and killed in this altercation, fired first. He fired at police officers first. And that is an important fact to get out there. A number of things are important, but the thing is that she is trying to be transparent and honest about what we know and what we don't know. And one of the things that I pointed out today in my Picayune Sentinel is that, and this happened on March 21st, we ought to know by now why the police pulled Dexter Reed over. Just a quick refresher for anyone who hasn't really been paying attention to this, but that police near Humboldt Park pulled over a young African-American man, 26-year-old Dexter Reed, ostensibly for not wearing a seatbelt. That was the story. And he refused to lower his window. He wouldn't cooperate with police, and he ended up firing at them. And he died in a hail of police bullets. And there are questions about this. I don't, from what I know of it, I don't think there's going to be certainly any criminal prosecutions. There may not even end up being any disciplinary prosecutions. I think we should ask how these kinds of things should have gone down, what they could have done maybe to not have it end in a police officer getting shot, who he was wounded and will survive, and a young man dead. So what I did today was I took a look at one of the surveillance videos that had been posted by CWB Chicago, and it shows how unlikely it is that police saw Dexter Reed not wearing a seatbelt. That you can see from these these screen grabs, this Zapruder-like analysis that I did, that they were like half a block away from him, and not in front of him, but behind him, and he's got tinted windows. So I don't think there's any way that he was wearing that they could see whether he was wearing a seatbelt or not. And the way they, of course, approached the car with guns drawn, five of them yelling and screaming at him for a seatbelt violation was very unusual. So my point on this is not to blame the police, or I want them to be honest about why they pulled him over. If they had him under surveillance, fine. If they thought they saw something, fine. I'm not being really critical. I've been piled on social media for acting like I'm defending Dexter Reed or saying that I know the police did something wrong. I don't know what they did was wrong, but I do know that this story that's out there that they got him for a seatbelt violation makes no sense. And things need to make sense. If the police want to build trust in that community where they are vital, they need to be honest with people about what they're doing and why they're doing it. And this seatbelt story just is crumbling as we go along. And that's important. I think that the Tribune editorial board is wrong to say that we should sit back and just wait for things to come out. I think things need to come out. This incident could end up being explosive if we don't.
I wonder if the reason we don't have another explanation for why they pulled him over is because that's what they're going to stick with.
Yeah, it could be, but it doesn't add up, and I think that's giving some rise to a lot of concern. I do give in my column today. I mean, I'm fairly critical of Mayor Johnson all along about a variety of things. I think he has struck the right tone here of concern. He has gone out into the community and listened to the complaints. He has not participated in any sort of cover up, as far as we know. If Mayor Rahm Emanuel had reacted after the Laquan McDonald shooting the way Brandon Johnson has reacted after the Dexter Reed killing, that I think Rahm Emanuel might be mayor today if he had figured out how to respond better to the Laquan McDonald killing. I do give him credit for that, but it is important for them to be transparent with us.
It was a pretty good story, I thought, in the Sunday. I don't remember if it was the Sun-Times or the Tribune, but it told you the story of Dexter Reed, the young man who played basketball at Westinghouse and was working as a security guard and was shot. His attorney doesn't say what the circumstances were of the shooting, and maybe that's not relevant, but it's just curious that they say he was shot and suffers a brain injury, emotional distress, PTSD. He'd been reaching out for help. You have more context of this man and how troubled he was when the cops pulled him over. So I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know if he was a gangbanger or not, but I do know that he had previously suffered a shooting and had previously expressed how traumatic it was, how troubled he was from that shooting. Maybe that paints a more whole picture of who this young man was. But the takeaway I had from that story, Eric, was de-escalation. this didn't have to happen. I mean, did they know, do we know, do we ever care that maybe the person who's acting erratically behind the wheel of a car, behind tinted windows, damn it, they might have stuff going on here, and we need to treat them a little more gingerly so as to avoid people getting shot.
Right. But I also totally respect the police fear that you never know what's going to happen at a traffic stop. And Ella French, who was killed in 2021, and her killer was just convicted, the police officer, that was a routine traffic stop. So I understand why police are afraid at traffic stops. I understand that they want to approach any situation like that with great caution. Did they properly de-escalate it? Are there other ways they could have handled it? Those are good questions. I don't think you have to be like pointing the finger of blame and saying they should be fired or prosecuted or anything like that. I'm saying that we should learn. I hope we can learn from this. Would be my takeaway from it.
You know, there's just a lot of story lines here that don't necessarily have to intersect. And I'll give you, this is what I mean. 847 says, stop making the police villains and the criminals victims.
See, there you go.
Well,
That's not what I'm doing at all.
But, right, because maybe the police should not have pulled that guy over. That's the end of that story. That guy should not have shot at the police. That's the end of that story. Those are both potentially very true statements, and one does not have to contradict the other. Maybe the police did not have to shoot at him 96 times. That can be a true statement without conflicting any of these others. One doesn't have to cancel the other out. No storyline here has to win. These are all true things. A tactical unit enforcing seatbelt laws is in reality a hunting expedition, said 773. And one more, 224. Does it matter why he got pulled over? Take it up with the lawyer later for false whatever, but he fired first. I think a lot of us agree with that. Damn it, do not fire at the police. Cooperate with the police. Roll down your window.
Totally true. One of the things that I call for is like they ought to have instructions. This ought to be part of the curriculum at every high school in the country about how to properly conduct yourself at a police stop. Yeah. You're not going to win. You're not going to beat them. You're not going to, swear at them until they don't decide not to write you a ticket. You're not going to beat them up. It's like, just cooperate. And if they mistreat you, sue them later.
Ding,
you know?
Ding, ding. Like, Time's up. We're already doing the podcast. We'll do this tomorrow.
Great.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll keep talking.
Eric, but just not on the radio. That's Eric Zorn. Email ericzorn@gmail.com. He'll get you the Picayune Sentinel.